Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sooners twist up front. He has time. Lob toward the end zone. It's intercepted! Trey Brown! You cannot hitch the wagon! Oklahoma wins in four overtimes! A Red River showdown for the ages!
Yeah, for the ages.
This is DFW's number one sports station, 105.3 The Fan. This is Sean and RJ, Kevin Gray, alongside RJ Choppy, Troy Hughes on your Turn It On, Leave It On station, 105.3 The Fan on Odyssey and the Odyssey app. Appreciate you joining us on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, 877-881-1053. The college football playoff appears to be headed down the road of expanding to 12 teams. Who wins, who loses in that scenario, and what it means for the game of college football. Joining the show now is Odyssey College Football Insider Mark Herslich. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Mark, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. Good to talk to you guys.
Thanks for joining us here on Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan. Your initial reaction when it came news that it appears that the college football playoff is going down the road of the 12-team format for the college football playoff?
I mean, my initial reaction was like, good, finally. I'm glad that we're expanding. And then it goes to logistics, right? And you know, I mean, my brain is, you know, I call college football games during the season, and the you know my mind says just okay, you know, how are they going to fit that all in the time frame they need to? But you know they'll figure it out, they'll do it. And my real question is how much is it actually going to change the outcome at the end? You know, I think that from playing the playoffs in the NFL that everyone just steps up a notch a little bit in the playoffs, and I think the same can be true for maybe a team that, you know, gosh, would not normally beat an Alabama or Ohio State or Clemson during the season. However, you play more out-of-conference games in these playoff situations, different styles of football that you're not used to playing. And I think that's what's going to make it so great is that you're going to have more of those odd matchups that you're not used to, more coaches having to game plan in 1 week for an opponent. And that can lead to anything can happen. And we could potentially see some of the teams that we aren't used to seeing in that Final Four, in that championship game.
Mark, yeah, it's kind of like a styles make fights type thing. You know, my big concern looking at this and just on, you know, just from the outside is of like the Final Four of the 14 Final Four games, 10 have been decided by like 17 or more. Are there 12 teams that are truthfully like capable of winning a title?
Probably not. No, but I don't think that there need to be 12 teams that are capable of winning the title. You know, in the NFL, there's not 8 teams in the NFL that are capable of winning the Super Bowl. But what happens when you get to that playoff position, whatever your team is made up of, right, it really starts an entirely new season. So what do your injuries look like? What does your depth look like? You know, where are you at in terms of you know, your abilities to call certain plays because you might have guys injured or whatever it is. So you really start a whole new season with whatever team you have, at, you know, in late November or early December, whenever they decide to start that. So at that point, you could have a team that should be a Clemson, say, that should be, you know, a 1 or 2 team, or an Alabama that should be a 1 or 2 team. And remember how nervous everyone got when Tua's ankle was banged up a few years ago for Alabama, saying, look, this is a different team now in this playoff because they might not have their star quarterback. So those types of things really dictate who can actually win the national championship, not necessarily the school or the logo that's on the front of the jersey.
Do you think this will balance out recruiting a little bit? You know, now it's like everybody wants, if they want to win a title, you got to go to Bama, Clemson, or Ohio State. Now you can say, well, you know, A&M can win. Now Iowa State can win. USC can win. Do you think this balances recruiting out a little bit easier?
Yeah, I think especially for, you know, you mentioned kind of the others, right? Not really necessarily. It's really like Clemson or SEC, and, you know, a couple in the Big Ten that are really the schools that everybody goes to. You're going to see, I think that you're going to see more of a trickle-down effect of, yeah, probably still recruits will still go, the top recruits will still go to those schools. However, then you'll get more guys going to not necessarily second tier, but you know what I mean? You know, the Iowa States, the a USC and the Pac-12. So you'll get more of those guys kind of spread out. And I think you're going to get more guys spreading across the country more. I mean, that's one of the things that these coaches talk about just in terms of the last 5 or 6 years with recruiting, is that, you know, no longer are you allowed to really have your recruiting hole, like your niche in the country, because, you know, it's so expansive with the internet. You're able to really see film and communicate with all these guys. So, I think it's going to be a lot more of that trickle down, get some more five-star guys that maybe some schools you wouldn't necessarily have seen them.
Odyssey College Football Insider Mark Herslich joining us right here on 105 Through the Fan, breaking down the potential expansion and voting coming up soon for the 12-team format for the college football playoff. Mark, your initial winner and loser, or multiple winners and losers, now that the college football playoff appears to be heading down this road with the vote coming next week?
Well, I mean, the far and away clear winner are the fans. I mean, you know, when you look at it, this is what fans have been clamoring for forever. I mean, more of these games that are so important and really the one-and-done mentality. And that's what makes, you know, you get to game seven, you know, in the NBA or, you know, in the World Series, and you're like, this is a one-and-done. You either win this or you go home. And that's what everybody loves about football and the NFL and the playoffs. It's like, okay, you come out here on this field, you have 60 minutes to not prove you're the best team in the country, which is what teams have usually been doing, right? You have to play a season like you're the best team in the country. Now, you don't necessarily have to play the season like you're the best team in the country. You have to play the season like you're the top 12 in the country, and then you have to play each and every week during that playoff system like you are the best team in that game. And so it just creates a different dynamic, and I think coaching style is going to be different because I don't know if you're going to necessarily have to be running up scores. You're not necessarily going to have to put up the ridiculous stats because you still are going to get in. And now what do you do when you get in? I think that's going to be a different dichotomy in the regular season as well.
You know, I was when they first announced they were going to 12 or thought about going to 12, like we had only heard maybe 6 or 8. You know, did they move to 12 because they knew they were eventually going to have to get there anyway? And instead of doing this again in 5, 10 years, just – let's just go to 12 now, or does this mean they're going to 12 because they also know they're eventually going to go to 16?
Well, I think that there was some sway. You know, I've heard articles Andrew Adelson reported that, you know, some SEC schools were pushing for that 12 spots, you know, namely to probably get more SEC schools into that playoff system. But I really think that if you take it to 8, yes, it expands it, but you still don't necessarily get those teams where you would say, hey, you know what? These guys have never been in the playoffs. You know, you're still going to get at the top-tier bracket of really each conference. I think what 12 does is it allows some guys that maybe, you know, they're talking about UNC, right? UNC with Sam Howell this year, you know, they could be really good, but they might not be. But they're also not going to win the ACC probably because there's Clemson there. So they're a team that, you know, could get in and really make a splash in the college football playoffs. And you kind of go down the list and you're going to get more of those teams where, you know, you're seeing a squad line up against Alabama that you wouldn't necessarily see lining up against Alabama. And they really get to test their mettle. And Alabama also has to now not only beat these teams that they usually might overlook, but you got to beat them and they got to stay healthy doing them. And that just, it just makes the paradox so much greater in that playoff system where really by the time you get to really that you know, the second game, the third game, you got guys tired and you got guys, you know, beat up, and then you got to be able to persevere through that.
Odyssey College Football Insider Mark Herzlich joining us here on 105.3 The Fan, Super Bowl champ with a team that we do not ever mention around here.
Yeah, home of the Cowboys. You guys got a lucky catch.
No, that was the wrong team.
Yeah, we got a lucky field goal block too, Jason Pierre-Paul. I don't want to remind you guys all about that, but when Jason Pierre-Paul tipped that end of the game field goal back in 2011, that helped us, so I appreciate that.
Mark, you know, I know you follow college so much. Outside of Trevor Lawrence, give me a player that was drafted this year that's going to have the biggest impact in the NFL in year one.
Oh, I love Jalen Phillips. I think that he is in a really good spot in Miami. I think they got a system that's going to play to his outlook. Jalen Phillips, the defensive end, outside linebacker, pass rush phenom at the University of Miami. So, you know, he's staying in Florida where he loves. And I think he's a guy that, man, I watched him in college a lot this past year. And his motor was, I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, you think about guys who just never stop going, and he's one of those guys. So I look for him to make big splashes. Again, he's going to be a defensive side of the ball, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets upwards of 6-8 sacks this year.
Do you think Urban Meyer's style translates to the NFL?
I think that Urban Meyer's style is helped immensely by the fact that he gets Trevor Lawrence, right? And he gets to kind of pick the squad. So one of the things about styles in the NFL is that if you are not ready to change your style at the moment's notice, then you will not maintain. You know, Andy Reid is a perfect example of that. The offense that you see right now from Kansas City looks nothing like the offense you saw in Philadelphia when he was there. It's just, he's able to take his players and morph it. And so Urban Meyer's longevity is really going to be based upon how he's able to take this and morph it with the changing times. And right now, probably because rather than install the completely new system for a lot of these young guys who are going to be on that Jaguars team, he's basically taking college football philosophy, bringing it to the NFL, which has been done successfully before. And I think they're going to start pretty fast.
Odyssey College Football Insider Mark Herzlich joining us right here on the BetQL Hotline. Mark, last question before we let you go here. I know you don't necessarily like, you know, talking about the Cowboys, but we'll ask you a question anyway. Your thoughts on the return of Dak Prescott and what kind of year you think he may have for this Cowboys team?
Well, Dak Prescott was, you know, and you guys know, when he was playing last season, the beginning of the year, you know, Cowboys were not good. And a lot of that had to do with defense. I mean, just a bunch of things. However, Dak Prescott was fantastic. I mean, absolutely fantastic. It almost seemed like, you know, there were games in the first four or five games where, you know, he wasn't throwing incomplete passes until the second half. I mean, he was on target. And so I think he has to get back mentally. And it's easier said than done, especially when you sit out and you're waiting for your contract to be renegotiated. You're waiting for all those things. You have a stressful season and off season. And I think he's chomping at the bit to get back out there. And really, in that moment, I think that what the coaching staff needs to make sure they do is just get him as many fast-speed reps in training camp early as possible so he's able to settle down and get rid of those nerves. Because he has all the talent. He can be fantastic. And we saw that evidence last year in the beginning of the year.
We appreciate your professionalism in handling that Cowboys question there, Mark. We really, really appreciate it.
I loved watching him play last year. You know, it's one of those things where you're like, all right, that's the Dak that everybody's been waiting for. I think, you know, you saw glimpses of it before, but yeah, and gosh, man, you know, I bleed blue, Giants blue, but I can appreciate talent, that's for sure.
You can find him on Twitter at Mark Herzlich. Odyssey College Football Insider Mark Herzlich, good enough to join us here on 105.3 The Fan. Appreciate the time, Mark. Thank you so much this morning.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
I just want my phone.
Whoop. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
That was Odyssey College Football Insider Mark Herzlich. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real, proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Today,
I just feel better knowing that
he wasn't part of the Tyree championship team.
Right, no, 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 yeah.
Because you corrected me. I was like, are you sure? Because if it was the Tyree team,
yeah, it's different.
We need to let this guy go.
This was the Manningham catch. That was still a great catch. That was a better throw.
That was a better throw.
That was a dime by Eli.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean,
that one to Manningham. Yeah. That was a...
That's one of the best throws I've ever seen in a Super Bowl, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it may have been.
Get it out of your system.
Just saying. He still should go to the Hall of Fame, though.
No, but he will.
He will. I know.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
At 8:40, Kyler Murray has a stunning admission about his future in the game of baseball. We'll get to that when we go around the NFL on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Kevin Gray alongside RJ Choppy on a Friday edition of Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. Sean will be back on Monday, as he finishes up his honeymoon with his beautiful bride and young Ollie out there kicking it out.
Yeah, did you see the photos from yesterday, RJ, of Sean and them?
I can't keep up because, you know, my feed, it's like 2 days ago, like they'll still give me the same pictures.
Oh.
So, I've seen a million photos that he's posted. Which one are you talking about?
Yeah, first of all, RJ, he'll only go to OnlyFans. That's his big website.
No, I don't pay for that.
Yeah, you do.
It's free.
Yeah, you do. No, they were like at the boardwalk. I guess there's a boardwalk in Maryland.
Ocean City, yeah.
Yeah, so they're at the boardwalk and Sean's walking around with, I think, like a basket of fries or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I bet. They're probably Old Bay fries. You gotta get the Old Bay out. How many stuffed animals has he won at the ring toss?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
easily.
The shooting game, trying to squirt the water onto this balloon and
bottle toss.
I'll tell you what, my wife hates it when we go to like the Six Flags because, you know, the kids, they want to go on the rides and she wants to go enjoy the food and everything. Give me 2 hours in the Midway.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll probably drop $300.
Yes,
but I will stay in the Midway all day. That's my favorite.
I do like the tickets now that you have to get that, not now, but you have to get the tickets. I do hate the tickets because I'd rather just give money and just swipe
for
right
like
there.
The fair.
Oh yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. The State Fair of Texas, same way. You go to the Midway down there, just spend all the tickets you want.
Yep.
I don't know what I do more, spend tickets or count neck tattoos on the guys that are running those Midway games.
I can't go to a fair without thinking Joe Dirt. I just can't do it.
I know.
Really?
Oh, cannot.
Like I go down there expecting to hear Whitesnake. I expect
that's what you expect to hear?
I expect to hear Poison.
Yeah, he looks like he has a fun, though. It's on the beach. He's on a boardwalk. He's playing games and food. Foods on those beach boardwalks are always great. I don't know where you are.
And then Monday, he's back. In studio.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. Here. Why am I driving 7 minutes to the station? Oh, it's going to be awesome.
So Sean Sharif will be back in studio on Monday for those who are looking forward to the return of one Sean Sharif. When table tennis and betting syndicates cross and go wrong. I thought this story was right up RJ Choppy's alley.
Okay, let's go and stop before you start.
Okay.
Because RJ and I are already looking at each other like, what the hell?
Yeah. Oh, trust me.
No, it's ping pong. It's not table tennis.
That's right. Well, I'm just going by what the headline reads. You want to call it ping pong, you want to call it table tennis, whatever your choice of words.
It's ping pong.
Apparently, there's a bunch of money in it. Because there was a man who was arrested for match fixing table tennis or ping pong matches. So one former table tennis star was recently arrested for alleging heading up a table tennis betting syndicate. Did you know that in January, more money was bet on table tennis in the state of Colorado than any college football bowl game? So apparently this is becoming a huge surge, not only in Colorado, but across the country. Literal millions of dollars are being bet on table tennis, and now people are being arrested for match fixing. According to Front Office Sports, Colorado, $6.6 million was bet on table tennis in the state's first month of legal sports betting. And it's not slowing down at all. In fact, April saw $8.96 million bet on the sport in Colorado, the fourth largest wager for any sport in the state. In March, Colorado's table tennis pool hit $8.8 million, more than twice, Troy Hughes, as much as betting on MMA.
Whoa.
I'm blown away. I mean, this just kind of just goes to show you that what legalized marijuana can really do for you.
In January, the total bet on table tennis was $11.8 million, more than any college football game or NHL game in the state. Says Jason Scott, vice president of trading at BetMGM, I'm probably as shocked as the rest of the gambling community. Once sports came back, I thought it would disappear off the map. It's kind of crazy.
I am still like, I don't understand how you bet on table on ping pong. And then match fixing in ping pong, that is the whole new level. That is amazing. You see this in tennis. You see match fixing in tennis.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see people betting on tennis matches in London. And then there's match fixing, soccer, point shaving in basketball. Never thought I would see it in ping pong. And I'm with you, Troy. I refuse to call it table tennis.
No. What are we, Forrest Gump?
So NSW Police Organized Crime Squad Commander Detective Superintendent Martin Feilman said police alleged that this man was the head of the betting syndicate and used his inside knowledge to gain information about table tennis matches in Ukraine that had a predetermined outcome. In other words, they knew who was going to win the match before they put the bets on it. They could show through evidence gained during the strike force that direct money transfers from the head of the syndicate were sent to people very closely linked to these table tennis games in Ukraine. So apparently, betting on table tennis and syndicates in Ukraine is a big deal.
Ukraine scares me. A lot of those Eastern European countries scare me. Just scare the crap out of me.
So, yeah, who knew?
Who knew?
Table tennis or ping pong, big money in that. By the way, you shouldn't bet on the Clippers. Here's a piece of betting advice to you.
Okay.
Don't bet on the Clippers.
All right, why?
Like this guy did. Because back in game one, so of course the Clippers are down 2-0 mm-hmm. now. This sports gambler lost $900,000.
900 grand in game one.
In game one, okay. For betting on the Clippers. So this sports gambler lost $900,000 bet that would have paid over $1 million. Of course, the Clippers led the Jazz by 13 at the half, but blew the lead in the second half and losing by 3. The loss by Los Angeles, of course, another embarrassment loss. But, yeah, a guy who put down $900,000 on the Clippers and would have won $1 million.
Man, when I see these people betting this kind of money, I'm just like, what? Where did it go wrong for me?
What?
Like, where do you get $900,000?
Dude, you're good.
Just a bet.
Doge.
Doge?
It's Doge.
Is that still blowing up? I don't know.
I have no idea.
I haven't looked. I'm just kind of sitting there.
But is it? Okay, so help me out here. $900,000 to bet just to win 1.08? Wouldn't it be just better just to keep your 900 grand in that case?
No. Because then you get your 900 grand back.
But I guess you get 100,000 more, I guess.
No, you get $1 million more.
Okay, so maybe I'm clearly confused then. So help me understand this. He bet $900,000 on the Clippers to beat the Jazz. It would have paid out $1.08 million. So you get your 900 back. Clearly I can't do math.
Yeah, it's like, you're betting 100 to win 100. But you're getting your original bet back. They just don't give you your money back. And that's it.
Okay, this is why I don't.
Yeah, you're getting it. You always get your original bet back.
Well, this is a guy who lost that bet for betting on the Clippers in game one. So there you go.
But still, I mean, like to go from $900,000 to $1.1 million, even if it's just that, you're still gaining $200,000 there. All right, that's still a $200,000 increase.
So it's not like you would have made that bet.
Look, if I had $900,000 to bet, there's no telling what I would do. There's no telling what I would do on that thing. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, if I bet, you know, $110 to win $100, you know, they're going to hand me $200.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just going to hand me a $100 bill.
So the world of crypto the world of NFT, I still don't get it. Like, I've been trying to figure out a way to, like, you know, understand it better, mm-hmm. but I still don't get it.
I am with you. I wish someone would come over.
Like, I need to start watching Gavin Dawson's videos or something when it comes to NFTs and cryptocurrency.
I need like someone to show me how to do NFTs. What, like, explain to me what it is in layman's terms. Don't use the word blockchain, because I don't know what the hell a blockchain is.
I don't get it.
Okay, it's like, oh, what's an NFT? Well, it's a blockchain. What's that? Well, it's you know, like that's like asking Elon Musk to explain Dogecoin.
Right.
Like, don't tell me it's a blockchain. I don't know what the hell a blockchain is. Use it. Look at Carter's looking at me over here. He knows. I mean, he knows I'm a moron, and that's fine. I'm one of the five biggest idiots in town, and I'm comfortable with this. But, you know, just don't tell me it's a blockchain. I don't know what a blockchain is.
So a non-fungible token, an NFT.
Again, use three words together that I actually understand.
of a digital artwork called CryptoPunk was sold for $11.8 million on Thursday at auction house Sotheby's. I could be
Sotheby's?
Sotheby's.
Yeah, they make good cake there.
Okay.
Not the same.
Well, so these CryptoPunks are a set of 10,000 pixel art characters made by Larva Labs in 2017.
Again, pixel art characters. Break that down. What do we got? What is that?
Well, it's a sought-after alien variety with blue-green skin and wearing a medical mask. CryptoPunk number 7523. So it's pixel art characters.
Yeah, I almost feel like you're having a stroke as you're reading this.
Trust me.
Sounds like I'm doing game night again with Greg.
So you'll love this next sentence. The work is in the form of an NFT, meaning it's authenticated by blockchain, which certifies its originality and ownership. The NFT is sent to the buyer's cryptocurrency wallet. No physical artwork changes hands.
Listen,
RJ needs a map.
I know.
To Wordville.
You know, it's funny. Like, when I hang out with my neighbors are all in some kind of an actual real life industry. Okay, they're either in finance or loan officing or you know, construction, whatever. And they're all talking, you know, in these terms. And I realize real fast when I have a conversation with anybody outside of radio that I have absolutely zero life skills.
Preach.
Okay.
Preach.
I cannot do an Excel spreadsheet. I don't know how to do it. No idea. Like, I could figure out how to put one, I could write in the box, but I don't know how to populate, that's another word I just learned not too long ago.
Populate?
Yeah. I learned how to populate it into, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to make it into a sum. So, like, I realized real quick, having conversations with any of my friends or neighbors, that I have no idea what is going on in the real world.
Well, here's where it gets interesting for you.
As if it's not already.
Well, look, this CryptoPunk was sold, as I mentioned, for $11.8 million. It was bought by the Israeli entrepreneur Shalom McKenzie, who is the largest shareholder of DraftKings.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
good for him.
There you go. Rich people buying things like that. Like, I had never heard of this, you know, this auction company either. So you can jump all over me if you want to. I never heard of this auction company because I don't know what cryptocurrency is. I don't know how to handle it. I don't even know what CryptoPunk is. I thought the story was interesting because I'm trying to figure out what this NFT thing is. Because I want to get into it a little bit. I just have no clue on how to get into
here,
it.
Here, let me
it doesn't bring, make any sense at all to me.
Let me bring RJ back into the conversation. RJ, you remember he mentioned the guy that owns it and he's like Israeli? Is that what you said? RJ.
You know Gal Gadot, who played not only Wonder Woman, but she was also
Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious.
Yes, Giselle.
You know she was in the Israeli Defense Forces.
I do.
She was a combat fitness instructor.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, see how I brought him back?
To my Gal Gadot, of course.
Yeah. So now I brought him back to the conversation.
Man, have you not seen Wonder Woman? I have not.
Oh! The first one's great. The second one, watch that at all.
I have driven by the billboard on 121 in Grapevine. And every time I drive by there, it's a new Fast and Furious picture. It's one of those like electronic billboards. And I circle back and I drive by again.
To look at...
I just keep doing that. I'm so excited for June 25th. Do not bother me.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's go around the NFL on your home of the Dallas Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Kevin Gray alongside RJ Choppy here on your Turn It On, Leave It On station, 105.3 The Fan on Odyssey and the Odyssey app. We'll start with Kyler Murray, Allen's own Kyler Murray, because Choppy, he had a little bit of a stunning admission when it came to the idea of him potentially playing baseball still. He said, quote, he would still be open to playing baseball. Quote, if I ever had the opportunity, I would definitely go for it. It's been a couple of years since he made his full commitment to football after spurring the opportunity to play with the Oakland Athletics in the major leagues. But this is a very interesting admission from Kyler Murray with respect to his potential future in baseball still.
It is, and I don't know if I'm the Arizona Cardinals, how happy I am. That he still has aspirations. Although, when you draft somebody number one who also has a minor league contract, you have to assume that they enjoy the sport and that it is somewhat of a risk that he's going to go at some point want to scratch that itch that is the great game of Major League Baseball. But if I'm a Cardinals fan, I can't. Can you be thrilled?
I don't think that's necessarily what I want to hear from my QB1 before the start of a new NFL season. That, hey, you know, I still got this baseball thing in mind that I might want to try and pursue.
Da-da-da. Now, look, I will say this. Do what you want. If you want to go play baseball, go play baseball. If you want to play football, play football. If you want to try to play both, man, more power to you, because there ain't a whole lot of them.
Is there room for the two-sport athlete in today's sports?
Yes, there is. There may be more room than ever before because we are better trained than we ever have been. And if you could do it, like if Bo Jack, now you may not be able to play quarterback and do it. I don't know. I don't know if you can do that. The position of quarterback is very demanding. But yeah, there's room for it. I don't see why there isn't room for it. We practice too much anyway.
Less practice for football.
Like, do they need it? I mean, let's be fair. You know, football's played between September and you know, February. Or really July and February. Like, are you telling me that if Deion Sanders was a football player? Again, quarterback can't do this because you got to be at practice every day of a quarterback. But if you're just an all-time great DB or running back, you don't think you can go play baseball and then play football on Sunday?
Things are so specialized these days, and there's so much training for one sport versus the other, and how much more commitment you have to have in the offseason to both, you know, to the particular sport that you're playing, that I don't know if there's room for the two-sport athlete. I mean, it'd be fun to see Kyler Murray potentially try it if he decided to do it, because I think he could be capable of handling both, but I'm just not sure if the amount of dedication needed to train for one sport, especially in today's hyper-athletic competition, that the two-sport athlete is still a thing. But I'd love to see somebody try that.
Yeah, from the 903, Troy, Xavier Woods played football for the Cowboys and wrestled in WWE.
That is true. That is true.
So you got to throw that one in there.
Yeah, that's the wrong Xavier. That's the wrong one, but you know, anyway.
Dang it. Two completely different last names.
Cowboy fans got mad about Romo playing golf as a hobby. Yeah, again, quarterback's totally different story. Quarterback's got to be at practice. Now, if you're going to do a Romo Wednesday, I mean, again, these guys do what? 12 full pad practices a year anyway. They don't even do one a week. So, I mean, I think it can be done. It can be done now in football, especially because the practices are not as nearly as demanded as they used to be. Like, you used to have practices all the time. Now, they're cutting short everything. They're cutting back the preseason schedule, preseason practices, two-a-days. And a good point of the FedEx. Look, in Major League Baseball, you only got to hit 200 anyway.
Right, to be a star these days.
It doesn't really... You know, our level of expectations and excellence is probably actually dropping. So, yeah, I don't know what... A pitcher could do it. A pitcher could pitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you could... And Bassick will be able to tell you this at 10 o'clock. As long as the pitcher is able to get in their throw day, their lift, their cardio, which you could all do at a football practice. You know, if you're a pitcher and a quarterback,
working on your mechanics in both baseball and football.
Well, the mechanics are totally different.
Right, yeah, I know they're saying, but like...
Chin up in football, chin down in baseball as a pitcher. I mean, just, you know, you're throwing down... In baseball, you're throwing up in football. It's like your front shoulder's completely different.
Right.
Mechanically, it's a mess. But, I mean, it can be done. I mean, John Elway did it. He played minor league baseball and quarterbacked at Stanford.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Sean McVay, he clearly doesn't give a damn because he clearly is in a much better mood, it appears, these days because Matthew Stafford is. In fact, let Sean McVay tell it for you.
I think I've been very happy. Everybody says, man, you just seem like you're in a better mood this offseason. I say, you're damn right I am. So this guy, he's a special guy. I think one of the best ways that I can describe him, when you hear people that have been around him, there's a known confidence where when he walks into a room, you always feel his presence, but he's got a great humility about himself that everybody loves being around him. And he's one of those guys that I think is a true igniter. Makes everybody around him better. I feel like I've become a better coach in the few months that we've been able to spend together, and we're looking forward to doing a lot of good things together.
You know, this is... look, I like Sean McVay. I like Matt Stafford. I like Jared Goff. You know, it's like I'm going to come off like I don't like any of them. But this is the classic example of a coach doing what coaches do. And this is why he gets on my nerves. This is why all coaches get on my nerves. This is why I don't like coaches in general. It couldn't possibly...
Except Jason Garrett.
It couldn't possibly be Sean McVay is the reason why they lost. Had to be the quarterback. Classic pass the buck to somebody else. Classic move. Lay the blame on the other guy. Make it seem like he and I couldn't get on the same page. This will buy me 2 to 3 more years of employment so I can get my $5 to $7 million a year. Couldn't possibly have been me. That was the problem. Had to be the other guy.
All right, I'm going to defend him.
because of one little word he said at the very beginning.
I think I've been very happy. Everybody says, man, you just seem like you're in a better mood this offseason. I said, you're damn right I am. So this guy, he's...
Right there. Right there. He says he's in a better mood and blah, blah, blah.
Right?
Hell yeah, I am. So this guy. He says, so this guy. If he said because of this guy, then he's putting a correlation between his good mood to that of Matthew Stafford being there. But instead he says so. So it's a separation. As in, he's moving to the next topic. I think he's talking about being in a good mood because there's no more COVID.
All right.
They're not having to stay at home and talk to each other through Zoom all the time.
All right, Troy.
I think everyone's reading into this a little too much. Well, I think you're trying to find something spicy when it's about as dull of a dish as possible.
Man, everyone seems to be taking it the opposite way you just laid out
completely.
There. That's a very interesting point.
That is it, yeah.
People are like, this guy isn't even hiding his disdain for golf and his love for Stafford. I mean, he called him special. Hey, pro tip, Sean McVay, special quarterbacks don't miss the playoffs every year. Okay, special quarterback, special.
Here he goes with the Stafford hair. Here it comes.
Special. No, not good. Good quarterbacks can miss the playoffs every year. Special quarterbacks win 12 games every year, regardless of who's around them. That's what special quarterbacks do. Special quarterbacks don't have four winning seasons in 12 years. You know who has four winning seasons in 12 years? Guys like Eli Manning, who aren't special. Who aren't special. Special quarterbacks don't have an adjusted net yards per attempt of 6.32 either.
Speaking of special quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, he's got some things to clear up when it comes to his wanting to have been traded. Maybe he didn't want to, according to Russell Wilson.
There was a lot of confusion because the reality is that I forget. I think I was in the Bahamas or somewhere, and everybody was saying that I requested a trade, and that wasn't true. So we made it clear that I did not request a trade. And then there was teams being flown around that I was going to go to those teams, this and that. And so, you know, I think that, you know, when you look back at it, you know, it's part of, I don't know, it's part of it, unfortunately. You know, and I think that, you know, more than anything else, you know, that I got my wish, you know, in the sense that I've always wanted to play here. That's where I am. That's where I am right now. And that's what I've always hoped for ever since 2012 when I put all the names in a hat and pulled out the Seahawks out of a hat, you know. And then sure enough, about, I don't know, 30 days later, the Seattle Seahawks picked me. So, you know, that's my mission. That's my goal. And that's why I'm here today and ready to roll.
Man, what? Didn't want to get traded, huh? What was the entire month of February then?
I don't get why Russell Wilson. Look, if you were unhappy in Seattle, it's okay if you were unhappy there. Yeah.
And now you can be happy again. People are happy and unhappy in friendships and marriages and relationships. Happy, then unhappy, then happy again. It happens. You know, it could happen 5 years later. Who knows?
Like, these are the up and downs of a long-term relationship. You're going to be happy with your team at times. You're going to be upset with your team at times. Like, it just happens.
Man, by the way, when he first played that clip, I thought that was our Tony La Russa audio of him at the World Series because he was mumbling through something. I was like, wait a minute, we're playing
Russell. Was he?
There was a lot of confusion because the reality is that I forget. I think I was in the Bahamas or somewhere.
Little La Russa there. Yeah, I thought it was more like Garrett Cole. I think I was thinking more Garrett Cole there after what we heard yesterday. But yeah, it had a little bit of Tony La Russa. Tony, do you want to speak?
Well, it depends on who makes the call. I made the call. And sometimes makes them today. I did.
No. All right, then. All right. Thank you so much there, Tony and Garrett.
I don't know. I don't know if.
Yeah, I got it.
Got it. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Garrett.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.